today. We're going to continue in our series, I Love Your Word. How many love the Word of the Lord? How many are learning to love the Word of the Lord? Are you learning to love the Word? How many brought your Bible today? Anybody bring your Bible with you today? Yeah, we're learning to bring our Bibles to church. It's a very easy habit to get into that we forget to bring our Bibles because the Scriptures are up on the screen. And that's a great thing that we can have Scriptures, and technology allows us to do that today. But also, it's important that we learn to remember that we got to value the Word of the Lord, and we got to learn to carry our Bible and to take notes in our Bible, and that this Bible becomes what? The life-giving source that God has established for my life every day. And so in this challenge that we've done, we've had a 60-day challenge. For those of you who are new today, we've been doing a 60-day challenge, reading 3 chapters a day for 60 days. Now we're heading into the 6th week of this challenge, and man, we're excited about everything that's happening. Matter of fact, I just really just encourage you, if you have a testimony of something God's done in your life over this last 6 to 8 weeks where you've been reading 3 chapters a day, let me know. Write it down, hand it to me, or email it to me. You can go to our website and send it there. I'll make sure to get all those emails that come from there. It gets forwarded to me. So make sure, go there and let me know what God's doing in your life. I've heard personal testimony from some of you, and I'm really thrilled about that. But I believe today that God's Word will bring life. How many believe that? It brings change, doesn't it? I mean, God's Word, it's there. We talked about how God's Word is what? The daily bread. That God's Word is what? The water from heaven. That God's Word is what? The breath from God. How many know we can't live very long without eating food, drinking water, and we really can't live very long without what? Without air. And so when God compared those 3 elements to the spiritual aspect of the Word of God, we are learning the importance of the Word of God. That God was wanting to teach us something. You can't go very long without being spiritually healthy unless you consume, you drink, you eat, you read, put in the Word of the Lord. We talked about receiving our spiritual sight, that we can see things differently. We're learning to see things differently through spiritual eyes, and God gives those to us, and they come through the reading of the Word of the Lord. We talked about last week about turning on the light. How many thought about this week every time you turn on the light? I got to turn on the light. I got to turn on the light. How many know light always prevails the darkness? No exceptions. Light always wins over the darkness. And that God is wanting us to turn the light on. Every day when we get up, He's wanting us to turn the light on. Every day in our life, He wants us to turn the light on. If you have a problem with dark thoughts, if you have a problem with past things from the past haunting you, I encourage you, fill your mind, fill your eye, fill your heart with the light of the Word. And see if that light doesn't begin to overtake the darkness in your life. If you're struggling with things in your life, you say, I don't know why, I just can't seem to get past these thoughts, get past this mistake, get past this failure in my life, get past this abuse, get past these things. Not only does it come through forgiving the people who hurt you, but it also comes through what? Through putting in the light. Putting in the light. Putting in the light that I can overcome the darkness. Today we're going to talk about meditating on the Word. Meditating on the Word. Look what Joshua 1:8 says. Do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate. Let's say it together. Say meditate. Come on, we can do better than that. Let's say meditate. There you go. Good job. Meditate on it. What? Day and night. So that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. How many know? Has anyone ever thought about the Scripture and said, you know what, Pastor, it's just impossible for me to meditate on Scripture day and night? Anyone ever thought that prayer, thought that? Okay, let me ask you this. How many people have ever been in love before? Anyone ever been in love? Did you think about that person day and night? I can think about you night and day. You know what I'm talking about. All right, you know what I'm talking about. You can think about that person night and day, don't you? So it's easy to consume and to think about things you love. So don't tell me we can't think about things night and day, okay? We can't think about things throughout the day. Does it mean every minute? No, but it means that in my heart, in my mind, I am saying, God, I want to concentrate on your teachings. God, I want to concentrate on the life-giving Word that your Scripture brings to my life. And so it is possible when you fall in love with the Lord. It is possible when you get revelation of who He is, to be able to do this. And God says, not only is this a good thing, but what? He says, I will cause you to be successful and prosperous. And how many people want to prosper? We all do, don't we? How many want to be successful? We know that degrees bring a certain amount of success. Good investments and hard work can cause you to prosper to a certain extent. But how many know that when God prospers you, when God brings success to your life, it matches no other. And you'll only find that when you begin to say, God, I want to obey your word. God, I want to bring in your word. And it goes along. So if I have my degree, but yet I'm seeking after the Lord, what's going to happen? God's going to take my degree, and he's going to take my heart, who is humble, and says, God, I can't, this is the degree, and it's okay. God, this is my hard work. God, I don't have a degree, but God, I'm a hard worker, and God, it's okay. I can do a lot of good things in my own ability, but when I say, God, it is nothing if I don't have your word. God is nothing if I don't obey what you're saying to me. God is nothing without a prosperous relationship with you, and I put those two together, then God causes the things I touch to succeed. God causes the things I do in my life to prosper. And it comes, how do we do that? Through meditation on the word of the Lord. Scripture is very clear about this. Psalms 1, 2, and 3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And of the law he what? Meditates how much? Day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, what? I can't hear you. Whatever he does, what? Who? The person who meditates on the Lord, what? On the law, the word of God. When? Night and day. Day and night. Basically saying the person who puts into the thoughts of God, I'm going to want to please you. God, I'm going to ponder in my heart what you're saying. God, I'm going to put into practice scripture and think about these things, meditate these things. God says, I am wanting to prosper this person. I'm wanting to prosper these people who meditate upon the word of the Lord. The word meditate simply means to ponder on. It even translates to the meaning that it's talking about here in this scriptures. Talks about giving serious thought and consideration to selected material. Giving serious thought and meditation to selected material. And so today you're selecting things out of the word of God. Now, I can't think about the whole scripture. I know it's like you. My mind's not that big, okay? I know you may think that. I got a big old nugget, okay? But my mind's not that big. Your mind's not that big. But I can look at my scripture and say, God, this is my scripture for the day. God, I'm going to look at this scripture today, and I'm going to take this scripture, and I'm going to read about it. I'm going to pray about it. And God, I'm going to try to apply it to myself today. I'm going to try to apply it in my talk, in my actions, at my work, how I treat others, how I treat my family, how I speak to my spouse. I'm going to try to take this and apply it to my life. And I can take it. I'm able to do that, okay? When you're able to do that, this is what it means by taking and pondering and meditating on the word of the Lord. And so I want to talk to you today about this. Why should we meditate upon the word? Why does something supernatural happen? You know something supernatural happens when you meditate upon the word of the Lord? Something supernatural is happening in your heart. Something supernatural is happening in your spirit. Why is that? Let's look at it first of all. Number one, something supernatural happens because God's word is what? It's seed. God's word is seed in my life. Look at 1 Peter 1:23 says, "For you have been born again, not of what? Perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." And so what's the scripture teaching us? It's teaching us this, that the word of God is seed. And when I put that seed in, how many know that when I open up a package of seeds, that it's got a nice picture on the front of the possibility of what this thing can produce, right? It's got the tree, it's got the beautiful flowers, the plant, the crop, whatever it is that's there. But when you take it out of the package, how many know you don't pull out a nice, juicy, fresh tomato out of a tomato seed package, do you? You don't pull out a nice flower out of a seed packet and go, oh, these seeds smell so good. I mean, it doesn't happen, does it? But we know this, that these seeds have the power, when planted, to what? To produce that particular item, that fruit, that flower, that plant, that crop, that harvest. This is what it's saying, that our seed, the word of the Lord, when it is planted in our heart, the enduring word of God, that when it's planted in our heart, it is not perishable, but it shall come forth and bring fruit. This is the promise of the word, that when you plant the word of God in your heart, it shall bring forth a harvest. It shall bring forth a good fruit in your life. God's word is seed. Scriptures over and over again tell us about this in Psalms. 119, the biggest chapter in the Bible, the longest chapter in the Bible. For those of you who pick Psalms, read the three chapters. When you got to this one, you're like, "Woo, okay, I got this one right here." Okay, and you remember reading this a long time, the biggest chapter in the Bible. And it's full of examples about the Word of God. Look at what verse 15 says. I meditate on what? Your precepts. Precepts is another word for Scripture. I meditate on your precepts, and I consider your ways. This is King David talking. Look what verse 23 says. Though rulers sit together and they slander me, your servant will what? Meditate on your decrees, the word of the Lord. Even though other people sit around, they slander me. How many know that could be your theme? How many students in school have people already talking bad about you already? This school year, you know. How many people got this problem at work? People talking about you when they're not around. You know what I'm talking about. Do we get upset? Do we let it bother us? Look what King David did. He says, even though they sit around, they slander me, your servant meditates not on the slander. He meditates upon the promises of the Lord. He meditates on the thoughts of the Lord. God, they say this about me, but God, your word says, if I will put you first, that you will cause my ways to be prosperous and successful. Verse 23 says it that way. Look at verse 48 says, I lift up my hands to your commands, which I love. I meditate on what? Your decrees. I meditate on your decrees. Verse 78, look what it says. May the arrogant be put to shame for wronging me without cause, but I will meditate on your decrees. He said, God, you take care of them, but God, I'm going to put my focus upon your word. 97. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on when? All day long. I meditate on your scripture all day long. Look at 148. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promises. Are you finding a theme here? David was a man after what? God's own heart. So scripture says that David pleased the heart of God. The guy, he was after, he wasn't a perfect guy. He made a lot of mistakes. But we see one thing, that God blessed David because he had a heart after God. And David's heart was what? God, I'm going to meditate on your promises. God, I'm going to meditate on your law. I'm going to meditate on the scripture. I'm going to ponder these things. I'm going to take these things and allow it to plant them in my heart. You meditate on what is holding you captive. You know that? We meditate on what's holding us captive, what's keeping us in bondage. We meditate on the lie that holds us to the bondage. Do you realize that? That many of us, we have things in our past, we have things that are keeping us tied down, and we meditate on those things all along. We meditate on the mistake. We meditate on the hurt. We meditate on the abuse. We meditate on the wrong things that were done to us, the slander that was said to us, the things that happened to us. We meditate on this. It's unfair. I was overlooked. I was skipped for this promotion. I should have been hired for this. And we take all these thoughts and we meditate on this. We meditate on this. We meditate on this. And what happens? It keeps us just like this. It keeps us a prisoner to that lie. It's a lie. You'll never be better than your dad. You'll never be better than your mom. You'll never be better than the abuse. You'll never be better. You'll never get the promotion. You'll never get the job that God has for you. You'll never be a good father. You'll never be a good mother. You'll never, never. And we concentrate and we meditate on these things, and they keep us bound. But when I meditate on the scriptures of the Lord, they free me. The thoughts free me. God has a seed. This word is a seed that brings us free. God has wanted us to meditate on the truth that what? Sets us free. He says his word is life and his word is truth. And the truth shall what? Set you free. That's what scripture says. The truth shall set us free. And he says his word is what? Truth. And so if I want to be free from these things, I've got to learn to say, God, I'm going to meditate on your truth of your word. God, I'm going to meditate on the truth of who you are. God, I'm going to meditate on the truth that says I can be healed of these mental thoughts. God, I'm forgiven of these past mistakes. God, I can learn to move beyond, Lord, where I'm at. Lord, I can change my family history. God, I can change a family curse. God, I can change things in my life. And as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to live things differently. As for me and my house. Why was Joshua saying that? Because all his family, they didn't come into the house of the Lord. They didn't go to the promised land. They died out in the desert. But he says, God, as for me and my house, we're going to obtain the promise that you have for us. God, as for me and my house, we're going to break this bondage and we're going to go after you. A heart that pleases you. You have that power through the word of the Lord to meditate upon God's word, to break those bondages that God has in your life. The second thing we see is God's word is alive. God's word is very much alive in our hearts to bring in life to us. Look what Hebrews 4:12 says. For the word of God is what? A living. It's what? Say it together. Living. God's word is what? Living. Let's say it again. God's word is what? Living. That means what? It's alive. God's word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the vision of the soul and of the spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Thoughts and intents. God's word helps me know the will of God, and it helps me do the will of God. That's what it's saying, the thoughts and intents. It helps me know and do the will of the Lord. God's word brings life. It helps me know and do the thoughts and intentions of the word of the Lord. We're going to go 1 Timothy 4, verse 12 here. And I want to speak directly, speaking to everyone, of course, but I want to speak directly to our students today. If you're in college, if you're in high school, junior high around here, I want to speak directly to you. Let's read the scripture together. As we do, I want you to see how it applies to your life. Let no one despise your youth. Anyone ever feel like someone looked down on you because you was younger? Maybe your ideas, your thoughts, things you had. And especially when you get into college and your parents still want to treat you like, you know, you're in high school and, you know, you're going through the whole thing. And you have this whole thing of identity crisis going on. Man, I wish they would just show me respect. Look what scripture says. It says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to believers in the word. This is your command. Timothy said this. He says, hey, you're to be an example to us. You're to be an example to your mom and dad. You're to be an example to those around you who are older in the word. Does that make sense to you? Very true. I didn't make this up. This isn't Pastor Gene, okay? This is what it says, that no one despise your youth, be an example to the believers in the word. It's saying, hey, I don't care what's going on in your church. You be an example, okay? You be an example. You lead the way. Don't let anyone put out the fire that God puts in your spirit. When you're not burning, the passion for God is burning. When you come back from camp or you come back from something that God's doing, don't let that thing burn out. Let that thing be alive and don't let anybody speak against it because God is valuing you. Matter of fact, he's calling you to be an example to others, to your parents, to be the example. We think so much that we're supposed to be the example all the time, but God's word even says that you to be an example in the word. Let's keep reading what it says. In conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come. Give attention to what? Give attention to what? Reading. Reading what? The word of the Lord. Give attention to reading, to the exhortation, to the doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. What is that? That's serving. You read the word of the Lord. Serve. Which was given to you by prophecy, by laying on the hands of the eldership. Meditate on what? These things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. Don't despise your youth and don't look down because God is wanting to show you new revelation. God's wanting to show you things and God's wanting to pull out of you. And I can tell you that I can remember in my youth that when God began to show himself to me in such a real way that when I was there and I began to realize his word became alive to me, I saw new things and I had new understanding. I understood things at a young age that most adults wasn't getting because they wasn't simply reading. And as you read the word of God, it explains itself. We've been talking about that all through the series, how it's got spiritual implication that when I read things and I learn that it's not just saying what it says, there's also a double meaning there. I can go back and translate and see the things in scripture that correlate and I can get a new understanding. I would read the scripture and it was coming alive to me like it never had before. Don't let anybody despise you. Let me just give you a couple of examples. These are some of the things, a couple of scriptures that came alive to me when I was young and I had an understanding. Isaiah 4:1. Let's just read it. In that day, seven women will take a hold of one man and say, we will eat our own food and provide our own clothes and only let us be called by your name. Take away our disgrace. Now, when you first read that, how many know that's just like, yeah, whatever. My first read that doesn't really do a lot for me, does it? But when I've studied Scripture and God's given me insight, I can look at that Scripture and say, all right, women represents the bride of Christ, right? The bride of Christ represents what in church? The church. We know in Scripture that God, when he's talking about women and the bride of Christ, he's talking about the church. Matter of fact, we find a revelation where Jesus even spoke to seven churches. Remember that? And so I can see the seven churches, seven women. And that day, this is the last day. So he's talking about the last day church. So I can look at this and say, all right, he's talking about the last day church. And the last day church, they would take a hold of one man. Who's it? That's Jesus. And the last day church, they would take a hold of Jesus. The last day church can say, all right, we love Jesus. This is Jesus. But they will want to eat their own food. What is our daily bread? Come on, you've learned this through the series. What's our daily bread? It's the Word. So the seven churches, the seven women, they represent the last day church. In the last days, these women are going to do what? These churches are going to do what? They're going to say, we love Jesus, but they're going to want to eat their own Word. I can look at it and say, all right, they're going to want to eat their own food and provide their own clothes. What does clothes represent in Scripture? We know clothes represent righteousness, that we are clothed with a new righteousness, that we are, before we are saved, Scripture says that we are clothed as dirty rags. But when we're saved, we receive a new cloth of righteousness. And so it's what it's basically saying is this, that in the last days, be careful, because the last days, the churches are going to say, we love Jesus, but we'll take our own food here. We'll make up our own Bible. We'll take the Bible and twist it around to fit how it fits us. Yeah, that's okay, but, you know, I can do this. And, yeah, you can do that, but I'll put on my own clothes here, and I'll clothe myself in righteousness. What's really wrong is what I choose to be wrong and what I choose to be right. You see, this is what it's telling me. So I can say, wow, I remember it's coming alive to God in the last days. That's actually happening right now. And I got excited in my heart that I was understanding the Scripture for the first time. And I was like, wow, God, you're so awesome. And you see what God was actually saying. Let's look at another Scripture, Leviticus 26. When I cut off your supply of bread, 10 women will be able to bake your bread in one oven, and they will dole it out the bread by weight. You'll eat, but not be satisfied. When I first read it, I'm like, all right, these people got a bakery. Big deal. Who cares? Right? But when I've studied Scripture and I learn what it means, I'll read the Scripture and say, all right, God, bread means what? Scripture. That's right. Okay. This is what God's saying. He said, you're going to go away from me, so I'm going to cut off Scripture revelation to you. The 10 women, these churches, the end time churches, 10 women, they were able to take your bread in one oven. And they will give it out to you by weight, and you will eat and not be satisfied. What it's saying is this, you're going to be cut off on God's revelation. You're just going to get a little bit. You're going to eat of it. Maybe just on a Sunday morning, you're going to get just a little bit, and you're going to eat of it. But it's not satisfying because you're needing more, and you're not going to have it. You're not going to have it. And so I read that and say, wow, God, wow, I'm understanding Scripture for the first time. It came alive to me. And I remember reading these Scriptures at a young age and God revealing them to me. And it just set me on fire. Let me give you one more Scripture as we close this part of it out. Genesis 24:63. I love this story. Look what it says. And he went out, talking about Isaac, he went out to the field one evening to meditate. As he looked up, he saw camels approaching. And Rebekah also looked up and saw Isaac. Now Rebekah, according to Scripture, Rebekah was a beautiful woman, okay? She was a beautiful woman. She was very, very much easy on the eyes, as they say, all right? Rebekah also looked up and saw Isaac, and she got down from her camel and asked the servant, who is that man in the field coming to meet us? He is my master. The servant answered. So she took her veil and covered herself, and then the servant told Isaac all he had done, and Isaac brought her unto the tent of his mother Sarah, and he married Rebekah. So she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Now, college guys, look at me right here. What I learned through the Scripture, that when I meditate on the Word of the Lord, that God gives me a great babe. Amen? All right, I got an amen right here. You're smiling from ear to ear. What it means is this. When I meditate, I put God first and say, God always brings the right person, man. God brings that right person to my life. That when I say, God, I'm going to meditate on you. God, I'm going to wait for you to bring that right person to me. God honors that, and he brings the right person. Okay? And so I'm learning these things as a young person because God's revealing himself to me and showing himself to me in a new way. And not only to our youth today, but to every one of us here, God is wanting to speak to you. God's wanting his Word to come alive in your heart. God's wanting his Word to come alive and jump off the pages and say, you know what? I want to show you so much. I want you to receive this. I want to show you new insight. I want to show you new things. I want to show you all these things. But it comes through meditating on the Word of the Lord. And the last point today is God's Word is Jesus. God's Word is Jesus. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? God. Verse 10 says, He was in the world, and though the world has made Him, it was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. Isn't that a shame that Jesus walked the earth and many people still didn't recognize that He was the Creator? That's what He's saying. The man in the beginning was the Word, and there's still a lot of people who don't realize that God, the author of this book, is still the one who created the universe. Didn't recognize Him. And verse 14 says it like this. The Word became what? Flesh, and made the dwelling among us. The Word became flesh and made the dwelling among us. God's Word is Jesus. God's Word is Jesus. Revelation 19:13 makes it very clear. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood. Whose robe was dipped in blood? Talking about Jesus. And His name is what? The Word of God. The Word of God. So why does something supernatural happen to me when I meditate upon the Word of God? Because I am meditating upon Jesus. That when I take this book and I read it and I meditate on the words that it says, it's just not a bunch of do's and don'ts, but it's a bunch of promises also. It's also the consuming Jesus. I'm consuming Jesus. When I read about this, I'm consuming Jesus. I'm consuming Jesus. I'm reading about Jesus. I'm intaking Jesus. How do I let Jesus come out of my life? By taking Him in. Then I let Jesus naturally come out through His Spirit. Coming out of my actions, coming out of my words, coming out of my thoughts, coming out in the things I do. It's the Word of God. I read and I meditate on the Word. I'm releasing the life of Jesus to come alive in my life. Isn't that a powerful thing? That when I read the Word of the Lord, I am releasing the life of Jesus to come alive in my life. I don't know about you, but man, that just thrills me. That gets me right here, man, because I know that God, when I'm reading Your Word, I'm giving You the power. I'm authorizing You to come alive, the life of Jesus to come alive in my life. We can wear the band all we want that says, you know, what would Jesus do? It don't mean a thing if I don't put the Word of the Lord in my life. Let it come out. What would Jesus do? He'd say, read Scripture. Read Scripture. Allow Him to come alive in your life. And then you'll do what Jesus does. Then you'll say what He says. Then you'll pray what He prays. And you'll go where He goes. Philippians 4:8, the last verse I'm going to read to you. Sums it all up. I like what it says. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is what? True. What's true? The Word of the Lord. Whatever is noble? Anything more noble than the Word of the Lord? Whatever is right? Anything more right than the Word of the Lord? Whatever is pure? Anything more pure than what's the Word of the Lord? Whatever is lovely? Whatever is admirable? If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. This is what we're supposed to fill our mind with. This is the Word of the Lord that brings life, that brings freedom, that brings a new hope, a new promise, that brings a new way of living, a new way of thinking, a new way of acting, a new way of speaking. He brings a new way of prospering, a new way of success. And it comes to what? Those who say, God, I want to meditate on Your Word night and day. I want to learn to take Your Scripture and I want to put it in my life, releasing the life of Jesus, releasing His Spirit to be true and alive in my life. How many today say, you know what, Pastor? I am ready to release the life of Jesus in my life. Anybody here say, that's me? I want to release Jesus' life in my life. Yeah. I'm going to ask you today just to bow your heads where you're at. Very reverently, just bow your head, and I want to ask you a couple of questions. First of all, I want to speak to those who are here today. Say, Pastor, you're talking about a lot of things. First of all, as I'm sitting here, I realize, first of all, that I need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I never asked Him to come into my life. I never asked Him to forgive me my sins. But today, as you're speaking, and through the worship time, I just feel something pump in my heart, in my gut. I feel something happening there that I know that God's wanting me to come to Him today. Maybe you've never prayed this prayer of salvation. Maybe you prayed the prayer of salvation a long time ago, but you say, Pastor, I've been far away from God, and today I want to come back and just renew that prayer once again in my life and put Jesus first. Renew my relationship with Him. Nobody's looking. I will not embarrass you in any way at all. But I want to give you a chance today. If you're here, you say, Pastor, it's me. Just raise your hand. Say, I'm ready today. You accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Thank you. Anybody else today? Want to join? Thank you. Anybody else want to join these two today? Nobody's looking but me. Just raise it up where you're at. Say, I'm ready to make a decision today. We had those who raised their hands, so we're going to say this prayer together. So let's just all say this prayer together. If you feel comfortable today, I want you to repeat after me saying this. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Be Lord of my life. I give you everything I am. I give it to you. I confess you today as the Son of God, as the Messiah. I will live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time or renewed your heart, you say, welcome to the family of God today, man. We really appreciate it. Yeah, let's give them a hand clap. If you said that prayer, it's only the beginning, okay? It's only the beginning of a journey. It's not the end of a journey. It's the beginning of a journey. It says, God, I'm going to begin to follow after you, pursue you, your teachings. It's a journey that says, God, I want to learn to change who I was and do a 180 and go the other direction. Begin to pursue a life after God. Before you leave today, if you'll stop by the back, we got a special Bible for you and some other material that tells you what to do next. Our special guest of today, we just really appreciate you being here. I'm going to invite everyone to stand up today if you could. How many today say, Pastor, I want to learn to meditate upon the Word of the Lord? Anyone here can say that? Raise your hand if you say, Pastor, I want to learn to meditate. It's something we learn to do. It's not something that's easy, is it? How is it easy? When I learn to fall in love with Jesus over again. When I learn to fall in love with who He is. When I learn to fall in love with His Word, it helps me to think about Him night and day. And that's what I pray, that God has given you a new sense of saying, you know what? I want to learn to fall in love with God's Word. I want to learn to fall in love with who God is. And I want the Spirit of Jesus to come alive in my life, that I can be used of Him to the fullest extent that He wants to use my life. I want to experience everything that He has for me. We got so much more that God's wanted to do in our life. If we'll just learn to open up that door and say, God, use me. God, speak to me. Direct me. There's so much more success. There's so much more He wants to prosper you in. And we put Him first. I'm going to ask you today, if you feel comfortable doing this, I want you to lift your hands to heaven. Say, Father, today, Lord, I want to learn to meditate on you in a new way. Lord, Father, today, I want to learn to take in who you are night and day. That I can learn to meditate, learn to fall in love with who you are. That you can cause my ways to prosper and be successful only because, God, I'm putting you first. I'm putting your word alive in my heart. And God, today as our hands are lifted, we say, Holy Spirit, come, cement us into our heart. Cement us into our spirit as we say, Father, we are looking for you. Lord, may your word come alive to us as we read it. And God, may it come to life and bring life to us because your word is alive. Lord, your word is a seed that brings forth good harvest. Your word is a seed that brings forth good fruit. And God, your word is a seed, Lord, that brings forth freedom in our life. And God, we thank you, God, we're learning to meditate upon your word. We're learning to bring it in, God, and ponder it. Think into the things of the Scripture, that we can grow in our walk with you. We can mature and go to a higher level, a higher dimension, God, that you have for us today. Father, we thank you today, and we say together, amen. Amen. Today, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you being here. And to come expecting. Don't forget this life group leaders meeting in the coffee shop for those who are leading or hosting. Stop by there on your way out. We'll take just a few minutes. They want to speak to you. The rest of you say, thank you for being here. Turn around, shake someone's hand, give them a high five, say, man, God is good.